All right, welcome to the Health Ranger Report on Brighteon.tv. I'm Mike Adams, and today our special guest, a first-time guest, is Sarah Westall. And Sarah Westall is a free speech advocate, and she's got a great website, sarahwestall.com. And she's got an event coming up, by the way, March 24th, a free speech anti-censorship event where I'm speaking. And today you'll learn how to sign up for that event. You can watch it for free, by the way. You can choose to buy a ticket for access after the event if you wish, but that's optional. And this is going to be a great conversation, a great event with a lot of amazing speakers who are experts in freedom of speech and people who, like myself, have been heavily censored through the COVID years, heavily censored because, well, we were right and we were trying to warn people and help people and save lives instead of sacrificing humanity to the jab or to the depopulation agenda. So that interview straight ahead, Sarah Westall, right here on Brighteon.tv. All right, welcome to this interview segment. And today we welcome a very special guest, first-time guest with us, but you've probably seen her work on the internet and perhaps on Brighteon and other free speech platforms. Her name is Sarah Westall, and her website is sarahwestall.com. And she is a strong advocate for free speech, and she has an event coming up March 24th that you can also remotely attend. It's about free speech. I'm even participating in that event. And I want to thank you, Sarah, for joining us today. Welcome to the show. It's great to finally meet you kind of in person, but over the internet.
Yeah, well, it's nice to meet you. I think we both know of each other. I see your work all the time. I listen to your show, so that's great.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I mean, I've heard some of your interviews and videos and articles. In fact, I'm on your website right now. You've got an article. Guys, you can show her website. Here it is, sarahwestall.com. Fed collapsing the shadow banking system on purpose. That's an interesting angle. I mean, I know we're going to talk about censorship and big tech today, but just real quickly, since you know Credit Suisse is about to collapse, what's your take on the big banking collapse that's already happened? I mean, three banks are done and more are likely coming. What's your angle on that?
Well, obviously there's more to it than what average, you know, what you're hearing. But the shadow banking is bigger than our regular banking system. And what is the shadow banking? That is like the offshore. They call it the euro dollar, but it's not. It's the offshore banks, you know, the Cayman Islands. It's where all the soft and hard crime happens. It's where all the countries that don't trust the U.S. dollar place their money. There's more dollars off U.S. dollars offshore than in the United States. And that is what is really fragile right now. And so I had Ellen Brown on. I don't know if you know who Ellen Brown is. She's amazing. Mm. She wrote the book Web of Debt, and she's the chairman of the Public Banking Institute. And so she knows banks really well. And so we're talking about the derivatives market, and the derivatives is just a big elephant in the room that's ready to collapse. Fiat currency is ready to, you know, it's getting down to nothing. And the Fed is playing some games where they are purposely messing with the shadow banking market. And not all. I mean, there's a war internally to these big players here. And it looks like they're purposely creating a liquidity crunch inside the shadow banking market. But the question that we have is, are they going to take down the regular market while they're doing that? And I don't know if they can't not. And so it gets really deep into some really good conversations. And then we talk about the BRICS nations. They changed their name. It's no longer BRICS, but 2/3 of the world are moving towards this alternative system. And there's a lot of more to that than people realize. They're like China and Russia and company. They're going into these other countries where the central bank, the IMF, they were giving loans to, you know, these African countries or these smaller South American, these countries all over the world. And then I think you've probably covered it before, where they gave a bunch of debt, giving these big loans. They brought in Western countries. Those loans ended up going to pay off these Western corporations to get their resources out and sell it outside their country. But then the country was saddled with debt, and very few of the people locally were actually benefiting from it. Well, China and company are going in and saying, hey, if you come with us, we'll remove all your debt. And so these right. countries are going, hey, we don't want to be here because these guys are hosing us over. We want to be over here. They're going to take care of us. I mean, obviously, there's a bigger game going on behind the scenes, but that's what they're doing, and that's why the world's moving towards that.
Oh yeah, and the Saudis saying, you know, Credit Suisse is on the verge of collapse and needing a desperate bailout. They went to the Saudis that already have a lot of money invested in Credit Suisse, and the Saudis said, nope, no more for you. But the Saudis are doing deals with China.
That's right.
So I mean, it's very clear Western finance is being engineered, controlled demolition. Let's say. But I want to ask you one more question about this before we move on to the censorship topic. You know, two of the three banks that failed in the United States were crypto-centric banks, all right? So Silvergate out of California and then Signature out of New York. Crypto, the two top crypto banks in America that were crypto-friendly, where you could trade, you know, Bitcoin for dollars and so on. And then what just came out earlier today, it's on my screen. DOJ charges Miles Guo with $1 billion in fraud, an associate of Steve Bannon, they like to point out.
Steve Bannon.
Right, they like to point that out. But Guo had, you know, he's a wealthy, very wealthy Chinese. I guess he fled China, the CCP. He's been anti-CCP, and he's been talking about this thing that he called H-Coin. I don't even know what the H stands for, but I guess he sold almost $1 billion worth of that crypto coin, and that's what they're coming after him about. Do you find it interesting that two of the three banks that failed, and also the Biden administration, I think they interfered with a possible bailout, right? Yeah, go ahead. You can explain.
Well, they're trying to, I think they're trying to, you know, the Operation Chokehold, where they're trying to mess with the cryptocurrency so they can, you know, their own CBDC currency.
Right.
They want a cryptocurrency that, yeah. And some of these legislation that's going through these states are pretty much saying we will only allow our currency, our cryptocurrency, and Bitcoin and all these other ones won't be valid. So we have to be really careful what legislation they're putting through. I mean, we don't want just the government's cryptocurrency. I mean, that's a freaking nightmare. And so that's what they're trying to do. And there's more to it too. Remember just a few months ago, all these cryptocurrency people were dying and getting murdered.
Yes.
There's a lot more going on. Library, the SEC, they just came down on them. So the SEC is really cracking down hard on, they're brazen, they're corrupt. I don't know who's on whose side. I think there's so many agendas going on that it's the, you know, the fog of war is very real.
Yes.
I also think the Ukraine war, where they're sending all these billions, you know, Rand Paul had the audacity to say we want to audit this thing, and he gets on the Ukraine hit list for just saying for wanting that. Obviously, I think they're getting ahead of the currency reset, and they want to get as much out, there's multiple agendas, but they're trying to get as much out of our system as possible before this thing goes down, and they're enriching themselves in the process.
It's the pillaging. It's the last chapter of pillaging that's taking place, which has always happened throughout history. The government pillages their own treasury before the collapse, and then the reset, and then they roll out a new currency, and all the peons are wiped out. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. And this $100+ billion going to Ukraine, most of that circles back around to U.S. officials and senators, family members, and State Department people. It's all just looting and pillaging. You're right, Sarah. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I think that's a big story. I think they're also covering their tracks with whatever crimes that they have going on there as well. I mean, I think there's multiple things going on, but it's, to me, that's the big obvious one.
Yeah.
And it's just so absurd. It's really sad. And so many people in this country just have no idea what's going on. They really, you know, the back Ukraine, I know people are backing out of that support of Ukraine, but the fact that they were duped again into having their own money stolen from them is just so sad. I mean, us in the media who really look at these things and talk about these things, see these patterns over and over again. And it's just, it's hard not to just be like, enough. I mean, how are we going to stop this? And, you know, getting back to censorship, these people don't know they're sitting ducks because the mass media is so bad. I mean, they're so bad. They're not telling people what's really going on, even the basics. You know, they're just manipulating people like crazy. And the ignorance is just incredible. We saw it with COVID. Now, that must be the saddest situation. You know, all these people going in, lining up to get a shot that's going to kill them. I mean, I just,
No, they rely
so
on the
sad.
ignorance of the masses, and then the masses are ruled by the arrogance and incompetence of the leadership class, who they combine the worst of both worlds. I mean, they're arrogant. They think they know everything when they actually know nothing. And so they create crisis after crisis after crisis. Maybe it's all intentional. But I tell you what, I want to talk about your conference before we get too carried away here. Here it is, your conference coming up, UnitedForFreeSpeech.com. It's called the Free Censored Conference. Is that the name?
Well, it should say Free the Censored Conference. We need to change that. We just added.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for reading it. Maybe we should read what someone put up there.
No worries. I'm always an editor. I'm good at finding problems with everything. But anyway, it's going
to
be Free the Censored.
No, it's free. Yeah, it's free. But it's called the Censored Conference.
Okay, great. Now that's March 24th, coming right up here.
The Free, Censored Conference, right?
Yeah, exactly. There could be a punctuation element here. Who knows? But anyway, it's March 24th. So tell us, can people join, remotely or in person, or how does this work?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an online conference. We're going to have amazing people like yourself. We're going to have Kyle Kemper, who's a brother of Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada. We're going to have Scott Ritter, who you had on your show.
Yes, I had Scott.
You know, he's number one, I think, on the Ukrainian hit list now. Just crazy.
Oh, here's some of the speakers. Let me ask my guys. Go ahead and show my screen while Sarah's talking. Some of the speakers. There you go. Go ahead, Sarah. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, and we have John Mark Dugan, who is asylum in Russia, who's going to be talking about, because he's one of the only Western journalists on the front lines in Donbass in Ukraine, and aired his documentary. So he's going to be playing some of the clips from people that he's talked to, who some of them have been killed, journalists that have been killed. It's kind of a sad situation. We have
Dr. Dave Janda.
Stacey McKinney. Dr. Dave Janda.
Janda's awesome.
Dave Janda's great. He's a good friend of mine, and we've known each other for a long time, and he's just so great. We have so many really, really good people that are going to be talking. And whenever people are censored to the degree we are, I think you need to listen to them. Because, you know, are you really a child and you can't listen to what others have to say?
Right.
But freedom of speech isn't about necessarily us having the right to speak. It's also, and more importantly, your right to hear what others have to say.
Absolutely.
And, you know, yeah, that's even more important. And you saw it with COVID, the people who were trying to give people solutions, desperately trying to give people solutions and don't take the shot and do all this stuff. They were censored like crazy. And how many lives could we have saved if we weren't censored?
That's the important point. Censorship kills. That I've said that over and over again. Censorship kills. Because it deprives people of access to life-saving information. And I was one of the first people censored. I was censored before Alex Jones was censored. I don't know if you knew that, but they took me down.
I remember all that.
Yeah, because I'm teaching people how to not need big pharma, right? You don't need chemotherapy. Let's look at how to prevent cancer. Let's look at natural chemotherapy methods or ways to change your life, change your diet, avoid exposure to cancer-causing chemicals and so on. So I was depriving Big Pharma all this revenue that they make off cancer treatments while they keep people in cancer, you know? And that's why they took me down, because I was interfering with the profit model. But if voices like mine had been allowed, who knows how many hundreds of thousands of lives could have been saved.
That's right. That's the bigger problem. And, you know, tyranny, the first thing that dictators do is they take down free speech in a country so they can take it over. And so it's really obvious that the big tech companies are being used as a proxy for state censorship. And Section 230 is this overall immunity clause to let them get away with absolutely anything they want to do. And then the state can hide behind it as a partner behind the scenes to implement their tyranny. And the average person is so gullible to think that that's not really what's going on. And if you look through all of history of every person and every one that we revere, you know, from Jesus to Gandhi and Plato, and I mean, every single one of these guys, Martin Luther King, talks about the need for free speech and how that is the cornerstone of modern civilization. I mean, we are not going to be enlightened. We will not grow as a humanity without free speech. It is every single enlightened leader throughout all history. So suddenly Debbie Wasserman Schultz knows better than all of them. You know, I mean, these people that suddenly think they know better. I just bring her up because the Matt Taibbi, how she just did a complete smear job on him in front of Congress. And he was a left-leaning journalist from Rolling Stone that's suddenly going, oh, my God, I can't believe how much our government is interfering with speech. And I guess I'm not for that. And I can't believe my own,
that guy's getting
my own tribe.
Like crazy. Yeah, there's a lot of red-pilling
going on. He's
getting
red-pilled in front of us.
Yeah, in real time.
I feel like saying, what the... Yeah, and I feel like saying, what the F is taking you so long to put these puzzle pieces together? I mean, my God, but at least they're coming around.
Yeah, absolutely. The censorship has only accelerated. What do you make of the Twitter files and the fact that it is now overwhelming? There's overwhelming evidence that, of course, government ordered big tech to censor specific people, specific accounts, myself included, especially surrounding COVID. And that they hide behind the label of disinformation or misinformation. And now they want to expand it to talk about bank runs because we've seen Senator Mark Kelly, the fascist astronaut that I call the fastronaut. He wants to censor anyone talking about online banking in a negative way in order to, quote, stop bank runs. So you see, they can always expand the topics that you're not allowed to talk about in order so that they can control the narrative and control the outcomes. What do you make of all this?
Well, it's obviously against our First Amendment right. And the fact that the government paid Twitter over $3 million to do the censorship of lawful content, they were telling them to take down legal content. Nobody was breaking law. But you know what? They spent so much time taking us down, but they weren't paying attention to all the pedophiles and human traffickers and everybody else that were up there. No, they didn't do that. They were telling Patreon to take my account down while there was a child trafficking account that had over 150,000 subscribers making at least $750,000 a month.
Well,
no, that was
Sarah,
left alone.
I'm sorry to interject, but if they take down the child traffickers and pedophiles, where will the Democrats do their fundraising? Because those are their donors. The pedophiles are the donors.
Well, it probably is a lot of the deep state. And I got to say, it's not just the Democrats. There's a huge uniparty there. And if you saw on my website, there was the uniparty. There was a Matt Gaetz put a thing through trying to pull out of Syria. And one thing that is materializing out of that is there are two uniparties, a much smaller one that is a coalition between Democrats and Republicans that all voted for Matt's Gaetz bill. And then there's another uniparty that's larger that was all for the pro-war situation. So there's a whole political alignment that's shifting. And I just hope to God that grows because it's American first. This is not the typical, let's fight about the normal or the other stuff later. We got bigger problems to fight about now. I mean, when they're trying to kill you and your family and take away your freedom, you got to start uniting, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't about, I mean, it's just mind boggling. And I think we're starting to see a coalition that are saying, hey, this is a pro-humanity, pro-America coalition, and we're fighting for our lives here.
That's right.
And I'm hoping that's what we saw in that legislation, and that starts to grow.
Yeah, you know.
So, yeah, I'm.
It's go ahead. It's fascinating. I'm right there with you. You know, I'm on Team Humanity. I'm not loyal to any political party. I'm loyal to philosophies and ideas that are pro-humanity, and it's why I'm even excited about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. potentially exploring a presidential run to try to outcompete Joe Biden. I just think it'd be awesome for the Democrats to have somebody as a candidate that isn't an Alzheimer's patient or something, you know, just somebody who, I mean, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
isn't a criminal. I mean, he's just,
you're talking about Biden. Yeah. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is, you know, he's got leadership. He's intelligent. He's on the side of humanity on so many issues that matter, especially vaccines and so on. I just love to see him in the debates. I don't even care who he's debating.
It's
Trump, maybe it's DeSantis.
It would change the debates.
Yes. So I'm all in for Bobby Kennedy to get the nomination of the Democrats. I love it.
I mean, wouldn't you Wouldn't you, I mean, instead of these low IQ debates that you see amongst the Democrats about all these feel good stuff, I don't even know who they're appealing to because they talk about nothing in these debates.
Yeah.
We would start actually having a real debate, you know,
I
we'd
know.
talk about real issues. It's, you wonder, are people really that dumb where all they care about are these feel, I mean, just in Minnesota, we had a court say it was okay for a guy who's biologically male, who identifies as a female, to compete against the women in powerlifting, right? He just says, "Oh,
Oh,
I'm a
yeah.
female." And so, did you see that court case?
I
And so they
did.
show him holding up his trophy, his medal. The guy's holding up his medal with a smile on his face because he won the U.S., the United States, the national
The
raw
women's.
open competition in
Yeah.
the women's division. He's not, he didn't have a sex change, from what I understand. His hormones aren't being muted, and they're talking like it's a good thing. It's just so absurd.
It's
I mean,
completely insane.
you
No,
almost
it's
have to
a
laugh.
The woke cult is a mental illness that spreads faster than any other contagion right now, or it has spread and it has infiltrated everything. But I want to mention something, shift gears a little bit. Your background is in tech, you told me. My background actually initially was in tech as well. You know, both of us have been involved in, you know, early tech ventures and running complex tech companies and so on. How is it that you and I never talked before? I mean,
I
thank you
don't
for
know.
reaching out, but
Yeah.
I just can't believe I never
I know
interviewed
we
you
should have.
before.
I didn't know you had that background either. I think the interesting thing, especially when we started talking about data modeling and understanding how data centered, you know, applications and stuff, you start thinking systems. It's a different way of thinking, and you can see kind of how pieces fit together in a different way. And it's a big picture way of thinking, and I've been trained to think that way. And I'm surprised we haven't. And I didn't know that was your background.
Yeah.
And my background, I also taught at the University of Minnesota at the Carlson School, which is the top business schools in the country. I did that for 5 years. And, you know, because of my background, you know, when you start having a decent background, they like you for that. But then I started talking about things that were off limits, and then they no longer liked me.
Right,
And
right.
that's okay, because this is a bigger fight and it's a more important. We have bigger problems on our hands than that. But yeah, I'm surprised I didn't talk to you earlier either.
Well, I'm really glad
So
we're
we know a
connecting
lot of.
now, and we got to have you back on. I know you're going to be really busy between now and your event, but after that, reach out to us. Let's get you back on. I want to know how the event went. But first, for everybody watching, the website to go to is what, unitedforfreespeech.com? Is that it? United for.
UnitedForFreeSpeech.com.
Okay.
Please go there. It's going to be free for the first, you know, for the when it first airs, 24th and 25th. But then afterwards, if you want on demand, you can buy a ticket. And if you want to use Mike's code, Adams, Mike Adams, so it's Adams, and then he will. We're trying to benefit win-win with
Oh.
everybody. The speakers who are putting their time into it, they can make a little bit of money, but 100% of the proceeds that ends up with us will go towards fighting initiatives. We have a couple initiatives that we're immediately looking at, which is one, to help doctors maintain their license when they're trying to give informed consent to their patients. I mean, that's Nuremberg Code 101, Freedom of Speech 101. My God. That is crazy. And then the
Yeah.
second one is Section 230, the fact that they have this super immunity going on with Section 230. And we're saying, wait a minute, you guys, it's not about banning, get rid of Section 230. It's about you needing to look at how you're actually interpreting this law. And we need it's a Supreme Court case. We're hoping it gets there so they can reanalyze how they're looking at this law and saying, hey, you guys are looking at this wrong. This doesn't give you blanket immunity to do absolutely everything that you possibly want to do and then hide behind Section 230. And so then we can't get any discovery. Like our case, which I think you saw, you actually donated a little bit to that.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Take care.